I think we should give them some encouragement. Andy has got an awesome word that God has given him this afternoon for us. He's prepared in season and out, just like the Word of God says. And actually, he does this at youth and all around the place. He brings messages at short notice. If we're ever a bit stuck or something, Andy, yes. And there he is. So let's pray for him. No pressure. It's going to be good. Yeah. Lord God, we just thank you for your word to us. We thank you for your heart for us. And I just pray that as Andy shares, that you'd speak tonight. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Now, Pastor hasn't heard this talk tonight, so he's trusting me, which is going to be great. Tonight, actually, I didn't come up with something this afternoon. It's been something that's been on my heart for a while, and I just have these thoughts that kind of go in my head, and I'm just trying to put it together this afternoon about what's God speaking to me, what's God's kind of been putting in my heart, like what I feel as though some things that are changing in my life, and so I was just going to share that tonight. That's cool. I'm not sure about any of you guys, but when I was younger, and not anymore, of course, but when I was younger, I used to talk a big game. Like I was quite a good smack talker. Like I could talk about how stuff was going to go down until you were actually faced, until the time came to front and you actually had to follow through with what you were saying. There was a time when I was about, I think I was about 11. We don't have any 11-year-olds. Do we have any? Shane, you used to be 11. Yeah. So Josh used to be 11. So Josh wanted back to 11. When you're 11, so we were lucky enough to be able to, we grew up and we went behind, we had a boat. It wasn't a massive boat. It was a real small little boat. Now Josh is really identifying this because he used to be 11. And we had the small boat and mum and dad, they would not feed us unless we learned how to water ski. And so they, no, it's not true. They would just beat us. They're not even here. I can say whatever I want. So I've got scars emotionally and physically from my parents. But we learned to water ski at a young age and youngish age. And when I was about 11, I remember being on the back of the boat and I was up on two skis and I was like going side to side. And on the back of the boat, like you don't realize that no one else. If someone talks to you, you can't hear them. Like if someone's on the boat, you're like yelling at you, like go that way, or do this. You're like, I can't even hear you. So you know when no one can hear you, you think that when you can't hear anyone else, you think that no one can hear you. You guys know that feeling? Like if you're even like headphones on and you're like listening to music, same thing. Anyway, I was this 11-year-old kid, and I was going over the wake, and I was just yelling out real loud, like, I am the man. I could waste all of you at this. Like, and I wasn't holding back at all. And I was just screaming this out on the back of the skis, like, whoa, look at me go. Like, and on the boat, I knew they couldn't hear me because the motor of our old boat was like really loud. So that was fine. And we came back in and I dropped off to the beach and I just tried to like play it humble as, but then I was like, oh, you know, that was all right. That was fine. Yeah. And there were some teenagers on the beach. And you know when you're 11, teenagers are like the coolest thing in the world, eh? Like, you're just like, man, I want to be like a teenager. And one of them comes up to me afterwards and goes, so do you want to, if you're the man, do you want to teach me how to ski? Because you know when you're on water, like water sound travels really, really far. And so these teenagers were just there going, you're an absolute muppet. And I think sometimes at that stage, inside of me just crashed. I was like, oh no, like I actually have to follow through with what I've done. But they were way better than me. And it was quite a humbling experience. It's like I said, my parents scarred me. That was one of the scars that still stays with me. But I want to speak a little passage tonight. I'm scarring my daughter too tonight. She doesn't even like my voice. I want to talk about a passage in the Bible tonight, and I've been reading through 2 Timothy, and now Timothy is a letter that was written to Timothy, obviously, from a guy named Paul who was in jail at the time. Now, Timothy was like Paul's apprentice. He did everything that Paul did, and he would have had a lot of courage. He would have had a lot of, like, he would have talked a big game because he always knew he had Paul with him there the whole time. Paul taught him how to be a pastor. Paul taught him how to talk to people and to share the love of Jesus with them. He taught them how to, like, in situations where people were saying bad things, how to actually bring correction. And so Timothy kind of looked up to Paul, and so he would have felt like pretty courageous when Paul was around. And so he was thinking, you know, I've got this, I'm down. Like, I'm as confident as I want to be. But as soon as Paul went away, you could see that through what who was written in Timothy, you could see that there was a whole lot of kind of trials that came up in Timothy's life and different struggles that he had to deal with. And Paul was no longer there. Paul was in prison. And as I was reading this, it reminded me of going, okay, I'm really good at talking a good game when everything's going well. I'm really good at saying I'm the man when I can cross the wake and all that stuff and no one can hear me. But as soon as it gets hard and as soon as the trials come, like, what's my default? Like, what do I fall back on? And so I'm going to pick up in 2 Timothy, and I'm going to read the whole passage, and it's pretty well-known passage. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And we'll have it up on the screen too. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give you a spirit of timidity, or timidity. See what I did there? That's a Chris joke, by the way. Come on, give her some credit. Did I not pull it off? Yeah. I'll hear about that later. God did not give you a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. In some other translations, it says a spirit of to be bold, to be loving, and to be sensible. And I just want to go to that first verse for a bit. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So that's the first passage we're going to look at. So Paul was pretty downcast. Like, his backbone, his mentor, was in jail, and Timothy was down. His mentor was in jail, but Paul comes up and says, "Hey, look, fan into flame the gift of God." Now, with music, every single note has been found. Like, on the piano, in music, you've got like 12 notes that repeat over and over again. Like, it goes your octave. And from every kind of song is made up just of 12 notes. So kind of every note's already there, right? Like, what's the difference between playing notes in the different orders? Like, you almost feel as though it's already been done before. But it doesn't mean that every song's been written. Because it's there and it's already existing doesn't mean that it's already been made. It's the same with words. You think, like, we've only got 26 letters in the English alphabet, but there are still stories to be told. There are still books to be written. There's still, songs to be written as well. But we've got the key ingredients with us. And sometimes we just look at those base ingredients and we just almost scoff at them. We're like, there's not much there. And I think Timothy was in that same situation for his own life. He's like, oh, look at what I've got. I've got nothing. But Paul says to him, fan into flame the gift of God. Paul's saying to him, like, you've got stuff there. You've got the goods. All you need to do is fan it into flame. Now, interestingly enough, the word, like, when you fan into flame, I don't do this when I'm trying to start a fire. I always breathe on it. Does anyone else do that? They'll do you get it going? Now, the same word they use for breath, and actually the same word they use for later on here where it says spirit, is, and they talk about the Holy Spirit, is this word that we get the word respiratory. Is that how you say it? Respiratory? Yeah, respiratory. So that same word comes from the word spiritus, which is like the Holy Spirit. So when they're saying fan into flame, like, breathe again onto what you've already got so that it can come alive again. It's saying, like, that same the same kind of root word of respiratory or spiritus. Let the Holy Spirit breathe onto what you've got, because you've got more to give. You're not just 12 notes that has already been discovered. You've got something amazing. You've got a song inside of you, but not necessarily a song, but you've got something inside of you that has to be let out. And it wouldn't have been lost on this audience when he wrote it to them. Like the fact that when you can see the play on the words of spirit and respiratory, and then saying, breathe on that thing, blow it, fan that thing into flame. Let the Holy Spirit come in, into where you are with what you've got, and let it become something powerful. Is that cool? Where am I up to? Because I think, and I'm actually just carrying on with what Pastor was talking about this morning, we've got to bring what passions and what skills we've got and talents we've got, and then when we let God arrange them into the way that He wants them to, as the Master Creator, He can just bring out something amazing. We've got skills and talents. We've been given passions for a reason. We're made the way we're made for a reason, for God to use us in that way. Is that cool? Cool as. Second one, I'm going to go to the next part of the scripture, which says, "For God is not." Oh, sorry. Can you go back? Sorry. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of timidity." Sorry. Do you want to go back one slide? If that's cool. Thank you, Timothy. "But of power, love, and of self-discipline." And the spirit of power, or boldness here, is immediately followed up by a spirit of love and of self-discipline, or being loving and sensible. And I think that's really, really, really important, because without these other things, I think power is really dangerous. So I'm just going to go to I've got some diagrams. So our first diagram is a triangle with just power. Now, if you have just power without love or self-discipline, you go to the next one, I think it's really dangerous. Like, you get guys or girls who are on ego trips, but as soon as they get power without love or self-discipline, bad things can happen. And God didn't say, "I want you to have a spirit of power." He wanted to add that to it, add more to it. However, if we have just power and love, which we go to the next one, if we go to power and love, I think sometimes that our deeds can be misdirected, and people can get hurt in the crossfire. Like, we just want to do all this love and we're really powerful, but we're not actually thoughtful about what we're doing with that. We're not disciplined or strategic about how we can actually produce that. We can almost cause damage by being unintentional about what we're doing, just going, "I've got power, I've got love, I'm going to do this stuff," without actually being thoughtful about it. Because God didn't give us a spirit of power and of love, but He also gave us a spirit of power and love and with self-discipline. Now, the next one is, if we just had power and self-discipline, we would be, which is up here, judgmental. And I hate that. Sorry, that's been judging myself. As soon as someone's got power and they've got like the discipline of how it could all work out, we look at other people's lives and we just think, "Oh, you're not living up to what I think you could be doing." And then the last one I was thinking about, what happened if you took power and you just had self-discipline and love? And it sounds good initially. Like, you've got the discipline to actually do stuff and you've got love to really kind of shape what you're doing. But I think sometimes we end up being kind of like impotent, and you'd have good intentions, but you wouldn't actually have that spirit of God, that breath that would actually bring change into a situation. God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. I think those three things work really well together. If you go to the next one, thanks, Kira. Because with those three things together, we can do great things. I mean, that spirit is the spirit that stands in the gap for those that can't stand in that gap for themselves. The people that stand up for those who don't have a voice. That's the kind of the spirit that will seek out the people who are hurting, and they'll bring restoration and wholeness to them. And they're going to bring power into that wholeness. They're not just going to say, "Oh, God bless you," and do nice things, but they're actually going to get involved in their lives. That's the kind of spirit that seeks to serve rather than seeks to be served. And that's the kind of spirit I want to have inside of me. This is the kind of spirit that copies Jesus. And if I'm being true in my own life, that's what I want to be. I want to be someone who has power not for my sake. I want to have power that is shaped through love and self-discipline to bring change into the world. Because I really do believe that if as a church we kind of get a hold of the fact that we've got so much potential, not through just what we do, but with God's breath in us, we can make such a big change in this place. Let's not settle for just going, okay, we're doing all right. There's so many more people. Well, in my life, I know that I need to see, have Jesus move in my life more. And all of us, we're probably going, actually, it's not 100% right yet. We're still looking for that wholeness. And I'm convinced that as a church, are meant to make a difference. We're not just here to exist. And it's not through our own power, but it's only through that power of the Holy Spirit. So my challenge for, when I was reading through this, my challenge for me for that day, so I do my, like, I read in the morning, and then I kind of write a whole bunch of thoughts down, and then that. So my challenge for me for that day was, okay, Andy, like, how can I use what I've got and let God breathe on what I've got, fan into flame that passion, what I'm good at, the skills and talents that I've got? How can I then give that to God and let His power, His love and self-discipline work through me? And so that's my challenge for us tonight. Are we going to just settle for going, oh yeah, I'm happy just carrying on with what I'm doing? Or actually, is there more in my life that I need to be letting God fan into flame? Is that cool? Cool. Is it all right? I might just pray for us, if that's cool, and then we'll get the team up and sing some songs again and get into it. Real short tonight. And next week as well, next week we've got Taylor speaking, which will be really good. So look forward to that. Bring your friends and people who aren't your friends as well. Yeah. But, cool. Thank you, Father, that you desire wholeness and you aren't after just one thing, Lord, but you're after the fullness of your Spirit in us. And Lord, I also thank you for the way that you've created us. You've created us all so differently. But you are wanting to breathe on those flames, those embers that are inside of us, those embers that we may have let die over time, or that circumstances have kind of dulled down. But Father, I pray that you right now, that your Holy Spirit just breathes again on us. Father, breathe again and blow your breath, your life, Lord, into us, that we may not just be here to exist, but may we have some power, Lord. And I pray for those of us who have been with you for a long time that it has gone dull, Lord. I pray that we never stop losing that wonder, Father. Just keep on breathing. And I pray for those who may never have known the fullness of your power, Lord. I pray that that we can open ourselves up to your goodness, and that we can know your breath and your Spirit, because we want to see it. We know there's something inside of us that's saying that there's more to this life than just existing. Yeah, come Holy Spirit and have your way. We love you heaps. Amen. Amen. Cool.
Awesome. Thank you, Andy. Wasn't that a great word? It's